How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
It's just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast, episode number 241. My name is Justin Worsham. I'm your host. And with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the with the new fully functioning website, the KevinMiller.com.
I've actually want my whole intro to change.
Oh, really? What do you want to be now?
I just want to be the Kevin Miller.
You don't, you're
I'm
dropping?
Not done. No. The Kevin Miller. Master the dramatic pause. Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that, but I'm the one mastering the dramatic pause.
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
So it would be, hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. We would do this on, say, episode 242.
Yep.
My name is Justin Worsham. I am your host. With me, as always, is... Wait, hold on.
No, you did it wrong.
I'm not the master. See, that's what I'm saying. All right.
Yeah, never mind.
With me, as always, is the Kevin Miller. The master of the dramatic pause.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Doesn't it just leave you waiting for more?
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's a nice cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe the recorder battery dies when that happens.
Who knows?
You don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe everything times out because it thinks we're done talking, like the end of a voicemail. Are you still there?
It's kind of rude. We're always rude to voicemails. We just hang up on them.
I don't like that lady. She kind of creeps me out.
I didn't know what you were going to say. And then you said, I don't like that lady.
Neither did I. I just knew I needed to have an opinion.
We were partaking in some Betty Crocker chocolate chip gluten-free cookies.
Those are really good because my lady, the cat that I live with.
Cat lady.
She's gluten-free, and we eat all sorts of really bad gluten-free stuff. She's always excited to eat it. She's like, oh, try this. It's so good. And for her, it's amazing because she doesn't, you know, get to eat bread. So the idea of, like, something even bread-ish is mind-blowing to her. She's like, taste it. It's so good. And I try.
But how long has this been a thing for her?
About 3 or 4 years. But it's always so powdery and chalky and heavy in the mouth, and you're like, really
but
good.
She enjoys it. You don't.
She's blown away by it. But these Betty Crocker gluten free cookies, I really don't think they're gluten free because we've had gluten free chocolate cake before. I'm like, so glad you made this. Mm. Tastes like grain.
That gluten free Z pizza is pretty good. I like that.
But the crust is not as good as a real piece of bread. I mean, it's okay.
So you're saying that is competitive as a cookie?
If you handed me that, I would be happy to eat that.
You'd be like, oh, it seems like a grocery store brand of ready to bake cookies.
Even that, I liked it even as a regular home brand, and I'm a pretty big connoisseur of the chocolate cookie.
So we told the nerd last week that we were going to hear your opinions on Multiple Man. Am I right on this?
Oh, yeah. I can't believe we've never talked about Multiple Man.
I don't know why. Sorry, the timer. I don't know if these people can hear that. But
I can.
There's some kind of timer going off.
Also, this flashlight's been on for a long time.
Oh, gosh.
I think that your son...
I just realized that we just did a whole episode, and I forgot to see if my wife, if she paid the locksmith or if he's done. It's got to be done now. It's 8:30. Anyway, Multiple
That was
Man.
Last week.
That's true. They know we bank them.
They do now. Last week, we were pretty good about covering
it. Oh, we were?
Up. Yeah, we didn't mention. We were just like, so last week, we la 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 la.
My bad.
And little did they know.
I assumed it was obvious because Justin was on both shows.
No, it's inferred, but not everybody knows that. Some people would think, oh, is he on every week now?
Do you think people really care? Do you think that, like, oh, the magic is broken?
No.
I guess the only reason they really care is if, like, Obama was assassinated last week, and then now we're recording this, and we're talking about Multiple Man.
We probably should not broadcast this one if Obama is...
No, it's a timestamp of when I uploaded it, so they would know that we were the ones planning it and before it happened.
On that day, it should be like the second saddiest podcast. Like, that's
a whole different show.
If we lose our president.
That I'm going to do.
What?
With my
with someone
saddest
else?
Friend. So you're my funniest friend.
Oh, second funniest friend. Then you have your daddiest friend.
Bill Glass?
Yep, it does your second.
Three-year-old launching some ass candy into his diaper. My favorite part of that is getting all red-faced. Getting all red-faced. I talked about it on the other show. But anyway, I saw Jacob do that was what I was going to say.
Yeah, I remember.
So anyway,
Bill and I Multiple are starting a podcast. Oh, right, Bill. Yeah, so Multiple Man, my favorite superhero and the only superhero t-shirt that I own.
Your favorite superhero?
Yeah, we've never talked about this.
I don't think so. You and I may have, and I tuned it out.
That's possible. What am I wearing?
Right now?
Yeah, close your eyes. Tell me what color my eyes are.
I don't even know. I could look at you, and I don't think I can know.
Are you colorblind?
No, but I don't. Like, here's what happened. I was like, it's navy. It's our navy blue. It's a light blue, like, button-up shirt. Like, I knew that, but when you said eyes, I was like, wait a minute. And then I saw your eyes, and in my mind, and I'm like, I want to say brown, but they're probably hazel. I don't know. What color are your eyes?
No, they're brown.
Do you know what color mine are?
Yeah, they're like blue. Like bluish.
We would be the most boring gay couple ever.
Yeah.
Because we're still manly enough. Like, yeah. In our regular lives, we're more like homoerotic than we are if we were actually to be gay with each other. I don't know. Like blue.
I don't know. Whatever. So are you gay or what? Multiple Man is not gay. He actually might be gay. Actually, now that I take that back.
Heads up, maybe gay.
Might be gay. So Multiple Man.
I'm gonna ask the internet: is Multiple Man gay?
Yeah, a true nerd would know. He might be. So Multiple Man first came on the scene in a Fantastic Four annual in 1969, and
yeah, that's right.
Own it.
You own the number one. How much did that cost you?
It wasn't too much because I was such a big fan. I went out.
Nobody cares about him or what?
No. He was starting to become really popular, and that's why I probably found it on the shelves. I was so stoked when I found it. It and two original X-Men comics from the 70s, number 12 and 19, are the oldest and my favoritest comics that I own. So with the Mimic, yeah, who doesn't love the Mimic? So,
Wow, yeah. That's interesting. He's already been in X-Men. Did you know that?
Yes, of course. I'm getting there.
My bad.
Multiple Man's powers, when he was born, the doctor went to spank him, you know, as you're supposed to spank babies.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, before their eyes, two multiple boys showed up. They spank him again, and then four show up. So what happens is that Multiple Man, when not in his suit, if he receives a blow, an exact duplicate of himself shows up on the scene. And then he has the ability to reabsorb them into his body, and he absorbs all their memories and thoughts. I loved this character when he showed up in the new X-Factor back in the late 80s, early 90s. And because the idea of being able to do everything, you hit your hand and it goes pock. That's what it says on the comic books, P-O-K. And then an exact duplicate of you shows up and you're like, okay, you need to go to school. Puck, okay, and you get to
play
video games.
So that's how
he
makes them? Like, he just hits his own hand?
But if you punch him, another one will appear kind of out the side. Like, if you punch him in the face, another guy will be standing next to him. So he's gotten...
Is it explained why that's, like, why it's physical?
Yeah, it actually shows later that, like, as his mythos starts to get created, it's a little concern. They're not completely clear because it's something to do with, like, like ultra-dimensional kind of thing, but because guns won't move over with him, but clothes will. So whatever he's wearing.
But if he has a gun in his hand and he gets punched, the other one doesn't have a gun.
It doesn't work out for some reason.
Is the other one holding a gun? Like a mime gun?
No, I'm not sure how that'll... They've just made it clear that he can't just hold a bunch of guns and then duplicate himself.
But if all it takes is like physical contact...
A sizable hit, yeah.
So if he's really going to town on a chick, like pile driving her,
that actually was one of the most controversial issues of the new X Factor. So he in the modern day X Factor, Multiple Man has returned, and now he's a detective in a film noir kind of style, and he actually got somebody pregnant with a baby, and it turned out. Spoiler alert, that it was a multiple of him. And
The baby was.
Just it had been convinced that it was in utero. And then when he went, oh, it's such a painful moment, especially if you as a father would relate. Everybody's excited, his first baby. This was like the first mutant born ever in like 5 years or something. And he goes and holds the baby and then reabsorbs his own child.
So all he has to do is touch the...
Touches them and they come back. And then the mother... starts freaking out, begins clawing at his stomach, trying to get her baby out from inside of
him. This is in a comic?
This is in a comic, and not in a like a gruesome clawing, but like she panics and freaks out. She's watched her child be
absorbed
into this guy, and it's an amazing story. We did talk about this. We talked about this on the show about a year ago.
Oh, really?
With another guest. Yeah, we referenced that issue.
Oh, okay. Because it had to be with Nick.
Yep, exactly.
Because when you were talking about, I remember you guys started talking about comic books, and I went, because you guys were like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, and it was about Multiple Man, somebody I knew nothing about.
So what? Then the latest turn to his abilities is that he has now his multiples have their own aspect of his personality because he's so conflicted. He can do everything, so there's no real point in doing anything.
So the multiples aren't they're aspects of his personality.
That's what they're starting to become.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't know. If he needs something done, he'll produce four guys and be like, okay, who's up to the task? One of them will be in a bad mood. One will be in a good mood. One will be really dumpy, and then sometimes they'll argue with each other and they won't come back and they'll try to go rogue, and it's an amazing storyline. And he showed up in the last X-Men film, X-Men 3, but he was a villain. You remember the guy that Jamie Madrox?
Well, it says here that it says Eric Dane, Multiple Man, gay. You've probably seen the latest Eric Dane pictures from Grey's Anatomy. You can watch the video here. People are calling him McSteamy for obvious reasons because he gets out of the shower and he's showing off his bod. You should also know that he played Multiple Man on X-Men 3, which is out on DVD already. Now what you may not know is that Multiple Man has one or more duplicates who are gay and or bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to see some man-on-man action involving Multiple Man on X-Men 4. Don't you think?
No, I don't.
Or McSteamy after the jump. So there's like, I guess the shot in the movie, there's, what's her name? The blue chick. Magneto and then Chameleon? No.
Mystique.
And then it's like all these copies of one guy who I guess is him. Is that the idea? Right there? Is that from the actual movie?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So...
yeah, and they didn't do that really all that much justice, but that's okay. The movies are trying to do their own thing. Of course, that third film was really bad.
I was going to say, I remember it not being good at all.
It was really
bad. I don't remember
it
being like featured.
Yeah.
I always feel like there's an aspect of X-Men that kind of annoyed me because I always felt like there were people that they were referencing that I didn't know exactly what they were trying to do. Like, I remember when Cyclops is the guy who can make his skin metal, right?
No.
Oh no, I'm Cyclops' leader. What's the guy's name?
Colossus.
Colossus, that's what I meant to say. Because he was kind of my favorite X-Man. I remember when I used to watch the animated series as a kid, I was like, how come they don't do more with that guy? Like, he's pretty badass, and I would love to see more of him. And then he had like a five-second like cameo in one of the X-Men movies. And then there was other stuff where they were like, but it didn't make sense to me in the timeline, because I always base it off of the animated series that I watched as a kid growing up. And so it's like, everybody's different ages, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like on the animated series, Rogue was the same age as everybody, but in the movies, she's like 22 or
well, because
kid or
in
whatever.
The comics, if they were true to themselves, the original five were teens. Cyclops, Marva Girl, who's Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman, and Angel were all like, you know, 18, 17, 16.
Yeah, and Beast didn't show up till way too late. He should have been there in the beginning.
Yeah, but they kind of reference that in the second film when he showed up, when his costume was, or no, his third film. When did he finally show up?
I think it was the third one.
I think it was the first. But his uniform was too tight, remember, because they were kind of trying to indicate that he used to be an X-Men and he had since retired.
Oh, that's right.
Everything.
He'd come back and he was chubby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what you have to do. The films have their own timeline and that's fine. I mean, you can't complain.
Do they really have to, though? Do they really?
Yeah, because you have to create your own, the new audience. Like, you can't just pick up from where the comic books left off. That doesn't work that way. You can do that with a television show, like with X-Files, where the movie actually took place in between the two seasons.
Yeah, and it was like a long episode.
Yeah, exactly. And that's acceptable. But
I feel like if you have a popular, like a Spider-Man or something, you could just follow the storyline of the comic book take those elements of it. Not feel like you have to deviate really from it at all.
But that's the thing, especially with any of the superhero stuff. I mean, they're just regurgitating the same stories again and again. They're regurgitating the same characters. There's something about our characters and we just won't let them die. How many times has Superman died? How many times do the X-Men die? And they always always come back. And they even, if you read comics, they even reference it. Like, he'll be dead, but he'll come back. The character's always some writer 5-10 years from now will be like, so what's Scarlet Witch doing? Let's bring her back in because she's been around since the 60s. And
right?
No
am I right? Scarlet Witch, SW. That's what I call her.
You don't know who she is? Come on.
SW.
The Scarlet Witch.
Or altered.
Who's her brother?
Huh?
Who's her father?
The Red Warlock?
No.
And,
but well played.
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver. And their father.
And their wait, Quicksilver was a chick?
No. What?
You said who was their mother, who was their father?
Yeah, no, who that I said who's her mother, who's her brother?
Brother is Quicksilver.
Yeah. And who's her father?
Father was Planetoidus.
Planetoidus.
Cyclops.
Magneto.
Magneto was her father?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who did Magneto bang to create Scarlet Witch?
Some uninteresting woman. I don't know.
They went all Greek mythos
on
us.
I hope I'm not crazy and wrong
on
that.
Chick.
Yeah, it's just a human.
A human. I banged a human and made 2 super people. That must be a great feeling to have, like if your sperm could make super people. Like, you're welcome for this, by the way.
When I was in junior high, I used to love to create my own superheroes, of course. Nothing much has changed. And so
Your sperm going to come into this?
Yeah, here it comes.
Oh boy.
So I had I was just trying to create different heroes and thinking about mutants and like, well, what if one woman's ability is to birth superheroes? And I'm like, well, the shots of that, I think I was probably in health class at the time, and that's why it was on my forefront of my brain. I'm like, I didn't really like the idea of
just
a comic
book.
Just
like an X-Men Pez dispenser?
Exactly, for being like, because the idea was that if she was trapped in a situation, she would be like, oh, crap, we're sinking in this ship. We're not going to be able to cut through this glass to get out of here. Push. Oh, I gave birth to sharp glass-cutting baby boy. Shink. We're free!
Oh, crap, balls, my vagina hurts. So much. Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. Now I give birth to rapid aging, man. There's another kid already coming. Oh, no.
Oh, give birth to...
Lemon juice on the shark kid. Oh, man. Oh, at least I'm done. Oh, no, no. Not Immaculate Conception, man. Oh, please. Anything but this.
Oh, anesthesiologist boy. Yay!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh.
You'll always be my favorite.
Please don't leave. Like, where do they go? It was a real problematic premise.
I'll tell you what they do. They travel in time to a spot where the Earth has moved.
Wrong episode.
What? Everything I do
for that reference.
Episode.
See last week.
I'm gonna start. I wish I remembered these episodes better. That'd be great to call back to last year on this day.
Oh, that'd be impressive.
It'd be that hard. I just have to go back and listen.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in 1964. First appearance was in X-Men number 4. How
but you
that?
Were trying to figure out who his mom was.
Yeah, I was just trying to stall. Pregnant with the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Oh, yeah, yeah. Magda is her mother.
How many people, like, have superhero babies, though? That doesn't happen in the real...
Oh, in the comic book universe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, there's Son of Spider-Man. He's a superhero.
Oh, really?
And then...
Spider-Man had a kid?
Yeah.
Mary Jane or what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
what does he do?
I think he's got spider powers. I might
but
be wrong
like
about this.
Not as good? Are they just like degradation of copy? Or?
I think he's got all the arms. But
it'd
no,
be pretty cool though to watch the. They have to do that, like, because right. That would be fun for me to watch the teenage argument of like, listen, Dad, I don't want to follow in your footsteps. I want to be my own thing.
I'm
not
going to
be a Spider-Man. You son, you have 8 arms and legs. You have. There's not a lot of job opportunities. I could be a mail sorter, Dad. You can't. I don't want to be boxed into anything. No, we can't let you out of the house. There's a reason why your redheaded wannabe actress of a mom homeschooled you. And it's not because we don't trust public education. Son, I invented web slinging. You think I can't handle your...
Just I'm going to go lay a nest. Maybe superhero
babies. How many times have I told you not to be having underage sex?
Apparently the men have the eggs and the superhero arachnophyte.
Well, can't certain spiders change sex? Oh, that's fish.
I think that's frogs from Jurassic Park. No, but Scott Bakula, Schroeder.
Sublet.
Nope. Summers.
I don't know who that is.
He's Cyclops. They had a child in the future named Ruby, who has all the powers of Cyclops, but instead of just from his eyes, it comes from all of her skin. So there's
she
Ruby.
She just blows up?
Yeah, she can shoot it, essentially, but her whole skin is the color of Cyclops' eyes.
Ooh.
That's Ruby. I'm trying to think of other... I'm not really great on all that superhero... lineage and things, but it seems to me that there's like Son of Krypton and things.
Son of Krypton, what's that?
Well, I'm just imagining there's got to be like Superman.
Well, like in the Superman, the new Superman movie with the kid that used to work at the Lucky Strike bowling.
Yeah.
His kid has superpowers. Spoiler alert. Too late. Like, is it he pushes him at the end, so like he's half his kid or whatever, because you know.
We saw that. Yeah,
I'm trying
that
was to think.
Movie. That movie's like 5 years old.
You know what else? You know what other series? I read this online that they're actually developing television series for The Incredible Hulk. They're bringing that back.
And
they're also talks about, because now Disney owns Marvel, so they're going to use their ABC connection to put The Incredible Hulk back on television. That's their primary one. They're also in
That'll
talks of developing The Punisher. And then there was another one. I have to look at this on my phone. But there was another one that lended itself. Oh, what's Dungeons and or Cloak and Dagger? That's what it was.
Oh yeah, now
they're making an ABC Family Channel Cloak and Dagger version. I want to ask you about this. Like,
who Cloak and Dagger?
Yeah, these are young kids.
That's
or
so funny because Cloak and Dagger was. I have the first issue of Cloak and Dagger. It was from the '80s. And it was set in a time when...
Now, are you going back and buying these, or you bought them when they
I bought them when I was when I was way into comics. I don't buy any retro comics now. I only buy new stuff. But Cloak and Dagger was out in the time in the 80s when they were trying to do social issues really heavy. It was like a big trend during D.A.R.E. and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So Cloak and Dagger had the ability... They kind of fought drugs in the streets. That was their thing.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Cloak is still around today. I don't know where Dagger has been lately. But Cloak is seen in...
that's a funny phrase for me to hear.
Yeah, Cloak is big.
Because to me, I feel like that's kind of a... That's a poor choice of naming your kids. You know what I mean? Because without... Like, your name's just Cloak? Yeah, well, if my sister was here,
yeah, exactly.
Then it would make more sense.
It'd be good.
It's kind of badass if we go, I'm Cloak, this is my sister Dagger. We're Cloak and Dagger.
Well, Cloak is a black dude who has this, like, cape, and he can go into infinite black hole darkness, so he has the ability to warp and move people around, and they have a word for it, I think, the nothing or the no zone or something, and
Like he could just wrap around everybody and
yeah, he has
them?
A cloak and he just so he moves through time and space or through space rather with his counterpart Dagger, who is a white chick wearing all white.
Oh, so they're not brother sister.
I don't think so. And she has the ability to shoot light daggers, and she's the only person that can survive the vacuum of Cloak's thing for an extended
period
of time.
So she's like his Jungle Fever soulmate.
Yeah. So the two of them would travel around, and they play good cop bad cop. He would be the he kind of looks like Death or Ghost of Christmas Future, and she kind of looks like Ghost of Christmas Past.
Like, to me, the reference is so obvious, but for some reason that really tickled me.
It's
looks
true.
Like Death or Ghost of Christmas Future. Like, we needed the second explanation was, wait, that's meant to look like Death, though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. But I think that's what they really were going for, is like, you know.
They were really going for Ghost of Christmas Future and landed on
Death? Yeah, because Death, you don't want Death at your dinner table.
What was Charles Dickens going for?
This is my point, is you don't want Death showing up at Christmas. But Ghost of Christmas Future, he's like the cool guy. He's like, I could be Death, but I'm actually pretty cool.
Heads up, guys.
Death is just Death.
I feel like everywhere Ghost of Christmas Future goes, people are like, hey, are you Death? Are you
he's like, no,
he's like, no,
I'm God of Candy Cane.
I'm Ghost of Christmas Future, I'm just here hanging out.
Check this out. And then he pulls the cloak away, and the guy's the Death and Greed or whatever the two.
And his ribcage from Scrooge.
Yeah, there was, because that's from the film as well, or from the book as well. It's Pestilence and Famine. That's who live underneath there.
Ghost of Christmas Future?
Yeah, that's who live under his cloak.
Are you, like, people would ask you, are you
future?
Are you related to Death? Or no, we're not. He's like, here's the thing, like, he had a good thing going, because I feel like Death happened before Christmas.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
like, Death is in the Bible.
So what the Ghost of Christmas Future, then it would have been like, he's looking for a job.
Yeah.
Like, we need somebody who's carrying around some famine and some pestilence. Yeah. Or do you think pestilence and famine were assigned to him, like a sidearm when you become a cop? Like in a taser.
Yeah, probably.
Like, so, like, okay, here's what we're going to do.
You could have war, greed, but you're going to get death and pestilence.
Yeah,
instead.
Like, we're going to strip away all your flesh and bone.
Yep.
And you're going to go around and you're going to show people what life would have been like had they never been born. Isn't that what Ghost of Christmas Future does?
No, it shows you how bleak
that's
the future
Zuzu
is.
That's what Zuzu does with her petals.
Yeah.
And her angel wings.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have your Christmas movies all jacked up.
He shows
up.
What happens what?
Yeah, Christmas Future shows you how bleak the future is because you weren't caring.
Caring for Christmas.
Now, our buddy Matt Wilson wrote a book, a comic book that's coming out this month called...
When you say our buddy, this is a person I've never met?
Oh, I think you've met Matt Wilson before.
Really? Weird.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, he wrote the comic book. It's been drawn. It's available on shelves. It's about, it's called Scrooge versus Santa Claus.
What?
And Scrooge kidnaps Santa Claus to become the number one toy distributor in the world, but the Ghost of Christmas...
I feel like I've seen this movie.
Wait, there's more. Ghost of Christmas Future, Past and Present try to stop him, and they eventually all team up in order to save Christmas. So he uses... the ghosts to solve the problem. Like if he's trying to land a plane before it crashes, he checks in with the Ghost of Future. He's like, okay, I don't pull that lever because that makes the plane blow up. And then he knows.
Is Scrooge using all this to
catch
Santa Claus?
Yeah, Scrooge does that. Yeah, to help save Santa Claus once he's created this whole mucky muck thing.
So he screws it up and then he uses them to help him.
Yeah, he
correct
turns
the wrong.
Corner. He realizes that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's a really good like a combination of several different Christmas mythoses all in the same place. Check it out. It's called Scrooge versus Santa Claus. It hit shelves today. Bam!
Today?
I don't know. Probably.
Well, here's the thing. Podcasts live forever, so there is an eventual chance that
today
will
just
be
right
the
now.
Day.
On the 2nd. That probably didn't help.
Nope. Way to go.
On October 19th, 2010.
Nope. What, you just took your headphones off. Like, are you done? Like,
yeah.
are you leaving?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Are you getting over your inner earbuds? What's going on? You don't like those headphones anymore?
I don't know. It's just when we record for 2 hours, they just get a little tired.
Do you want me to get you some nice studio
cans?
No,
I love it. I just wish it was quieter in this room. But other than that, it's totally great.
This is why you need studio cans. You can't hear. Seriously, try these.
Okay.
When you hold on. So if you try those on, yeah, you're right. Because as soon as I take them off, I hear everything.
Oh, I do need these.
Yeah,
This is much better.
You can't be distracted. You can't do
anything. Well, I know what's happening. My blood isn't boiling as high. Here you go.
And you also, what's nice, too, is that you can hear what's actually being recorded, so you don't panic, because you can't really hear what they're doing.
You say so. You say so.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
That's what happens when my son is finished with his nap, but we're not finished with podcasting. That's what happens right then and there. Do we talk about everything, all things Multiple Man?
Yeah, I mean, I think we certainly did. Check it out.
I kind of feel like I want to dissect this idea of death getting confused for Ghost of Christmas Future.
I want to talk about what you would do if you had multiple personalities, if you could be Multiple Man.
Like Michael Keaton in Multiplicity.
Yeah, but see, he had infinite... You could create 40 multiples, and each multiple can create 40 multiples.
Could create 40 multiples?
Yes, you get an infinite number of Multiple Men.
Let's see. If I could do that, well, like today, I would have somebody stay here, take care of my kid.
Exactly.
I would have somebody go take care of the maintenance. I would have somebody call to get me more work in comedy clubs.
Yep, exactly.
I might, I don't.
But why stop there?
What do you mean?
Well, that's just what you're trying to do in your life. You can do anything. You can send a guy off to learn a skill that you don't know. You could send several guys off to learn the same skill you don't
know.
So
now this is the part where we learn why you loved him so much.
Exactly. Because think about it. You wouldn't have to learn you could be learning several different parts of the same thing at the same time. You could be learning several different trades.
So like he could go, one could go off and learn Spanish, and then when I find him, I just touch him and now I know Spanish.
Exactly. You reabsorb him in and you automatically know Spanish. But you could send... eight
How would
guys.
I keep track of all of their life memories?
They just absorb into yours. Just as much as everything you know becomes like a general gooiness of
memory. So he's
got
to be forgetting all of his phone numbers on a regular
exactly.
basis.
Exactly. And that's why when he splits off, you know, that now parts of his aspect of personality are becoming more and more confused because he's gone in so many different directions. He has no constant within him.
So how many people are out there right now? Like... Does every book end with him kind of bringing it all back in?
No. Nowadays, it's all one continuous story. You know, it's not It's not this week on Multiple Man. It's, we know there was a...
Right, but I mean, are there multiple men out there that people don't know what's going on with him?
Some of them, yeah, and there was some storylines.
Like, he probably kicked out the gay and the bisexual one?
No, no, no. He sent... There was one at the beginning of this series, actually. He sent out about, I think it was 20 different multiple men to learn different specific things to see what he wanted to do with his life. And one guy actually went out and stopped being multiple man, learned how to not create multiples, and became a reverend, became a pastor, got married, had a child, all that kind of stuff, and became a...
And he was able to hold his child without absorbing it?
Yeah, because he was able to figure out how to do it.
Did they say...
Well, spoiler alert, it turned out it wasn't his child, but he's like, he knew. So
he knew it wasn't his child?
Yeah, because he knew who he was. But he...
Oh, so he was like, hey, go... Go bone.
No, he
it
was
future.
Like the son of somebody else or something, and he's like, yeah,
oh, so
I was aware.
He picked up on a pregnant mom.
Yeah, exactly. Got it. But he was a pastor. So, but that was the point, is that he could go, and then he would go out and try to reconnect these people. Some of them he would force to come back. Some of them he wouldn't. Some of them turn evil. That'll happen sometimes. They'll join the wrong team.
How many superheroes have to juggle being a parent?
That's a difficult question. I don't know if there's a number you can attach to that, but there are lots of superheroes that deal with parenting.
How?
Well, they have a child at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
I'm trying to think of one. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not the authority. I'm not arguing.
Cyclops and Jean Grey had their child back in X-Factor.
But I'm saying in a timeline now that we... So X-Factor happened in the 80s or no? Is that
X-Factor was the original X-Men reunited. So it was Beast, Jean Grey,
Where did
Angel.
They all go?
They had, some had left the team, some were still with the X-Men, and then they all got kind of kicked out, and the X-Men comics were continue on, but focusing on more different heroes, Storm, those kind of folks, and then those original five went off and became X-Factor. And then in the 80s, their job was to go out and find other mutants hiding out in the world, but they were disguised as a mutant extermination league. So they, when people are like, oh, my neighbor's a mutant, come and get him, they'd show up and be like, we're here to take him down, but they look like humans. And then they come and meet the mutant and be like,
even
hey.
Beast?
Yeah, it was at the time Beast went back to looking like regular white guy Beast.
How did he, I didn't know he could do that.
He, just for that era, he very quickly later.
How convenient.
Yeah, turned back. It's comics, man.
I know, but that would annoy me a little.
Because now Beast looks totally different. It's
really?
Yeah, he's more Beast cat looking. In fact, a couple of years ago.
Because the one I saw in the movie was like the animated show where he's like blue and.
Exactly.
Like
so there's that very stylized way Beast has looked forever. And then more recently, he's more cat-like, more puma-ish. And a couple years ago, they had the secret invasion where nobody knew who was really, if they said they were. So some of them were these aliens called the Skrulls posing as other people. Mm-hmm. And this Beast came out looking like classic Beast. And somebody even called them on it like, man, maybe you should check out Wikipedia. Beast doesn't look like that anymore.
That's funny.
Pretty great.
And then speaking of old comics, too, like because I mentioned last week that I was reading the original Iron Man on Tales of Suspense. And the original Iron Man story wasn't that there was an arc reactor within him.
No.
But he uses reverse magnetic transistors, and it's a full iron chest plate that he wears underneath. And so he has this, like, reputation of being this millionaire playboy who does nothing but bone chicks. But now he can't bone chicks all the time because they can't see his iron plate that he has to wear over his chest all the time.
Good piece of drama.
And I love that there's all these shots of him in his like 60s style living room with his chest plate like plugged into not even a three prong but a two prong outlet on a wall. No ground. Doesn't need ground.
Not into his chest. He's pulling what, 120 volts?
That's
alive?
All he's got. I mean, the amperage, I don't know what he's pulling, but all he's got is 120 volts because it's not a 210 socket. I can tell by looking at it. It doesn't have that little crosshair. It's not a three prong in a circular situation. That would be 240.
I didn't even know those existed back then. That's pretty sweet. Yeah, because that's the thing about comics back in the day. One of my favorite books is called Atlas, and it just got discontinued again, but it's a retroactively created superhero league from the 1950s. And in the 50s, superheroes in costumes just were not popular. Nobody was doing that. So they went back and there were five or six different heroes that existed in the 50s. And they said, well, what if they were all a superhero team in secret and you didn't know it? And now we're kind of reliving that. And one of them is called the Human Robot. And he is this like retro looking real deal robot because that's what he looked like in the 19. 19- 40s, I think, late 40s when he was first introduced.
Kind of like Lost in Space kind of robot? Or
no, more like The Day the Earth Stood Still kind of robot. Like just a man spray-painted silver.
Like Tin Man, Wizard of Oz. That's something probably everybody
has seen. More plain. Like, you know, there's a face that has no definition except for a line across it with a that's supposed to be his eyes. I mean, just really retro robot.
That's original Iron Man.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's his face.
Yeah, that's old school Iron Man. You can see his face through.
Like, it's
it,
all rounded and, hold on, go back to the other.
But, you know, if you read the new comics with Iron Man, which I should loan you, they still kind of throw back to that when people are stealing that technology. Yeah, with the just gold plating.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's funny because in the very first one, he has an iron suit and he's gray.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, he's just walking around to go help people and people are afraid of him. They're and then this like marketing person who Tony Stark is on a date with
says
well, you know what she said, Iron Man should, it's because his color is like gray, it's kind of scary, he looks like a monster, but he should come up with something that's a little more flashy, looks heroic and nice and classy.
Oh, that's funny.
And so then he said something like, you know what? That's a great idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if Iron Man thought of that suggestion himself.
Yeah. That's pretty clever.
That's how he says it. And then he goes home and has himself, like, he does, and there's like this magnetic transistor paint that glues itself.
Everything is transistor.
Yeah, it glues itself to his body.
And because I imagine that's Iron Man number one, because the first Iron Man was in that Fantastic Tales or whatever, right?
This is so what I read was the first appearance of Iron Man, yep, which is Tales of Suspense.
That's it.
And then the next issue of Tales of Suspense is the one where he paints himself gold.
Okay, so they
and he faces Gargantuous, which is like this alien robot that would hypnotize people into worshiping it, and it looked like a Cro-Magnon man. And then it was so funny because I was like, on the cover art, it looks like this great idea for a villain where I'm like, just this humongous Neanderthal caveman-looking creature. And then at the very, very end, or like out of nowhere, he knew all along, kind of Sherlock Holmes-ish or whatever. But at the very end, it's just like these aliens created him to rule the planet, and they were here back when cavemen were roaming the planet. And they were like, so they built this humongous version of what they saw back in the day to help rule them.
See, you gotta
admire. And then Iron Man shows up, and they're like, we could never, like, that's the last panel, is they're flying away going, we could never rule this planet now that they have iron people. Wow.
That's the thing. You got to admire the old style comics because they were just so free with everything. You know, everything was new, you get to invent stuff. Like I said, there weren't a lot of conventions, so they were kind of inventing things that eighth graders come up with now because it's the most obvious choices, like shooting laser out of your eyes. It didn't take a lot of creativity, but they're so free to do that stuff. You're like, I don't know, giant Cro-Magnon man, that sounds great.
This is how this is another kind of version of like me being a nerd coming out of my closet, in that
welcome,
I've looked at these, like, you look at the credits on these comics on the front and it says like story by Stan Lee, but written by some other guy and illustrated by somebody
that's
else
today still.
But so it's like, to me, I just think, how great would it have been back, although I'm sure there wasn't a ton of money in what he was doing. But just imagine Stanley sitting around with these guys going, okay, here's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
This needs to be this, and then this needs to be this, and this needs to be that. Like,
there's
got to
be an island where everything is back in time. We'll call it the Savage Land.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, he's still a savage there, but he never really leaves the island. But he's pretty much Tarzan, okay? Yeah. So that's there. And we visit this island. Everybody does. Somehow they get in. But it's in the Arctic. I don't know. Make that a story.
Well, then part of me feels like they said, okay, well, why is it that the villain looks like a caveman? He's like, what do you mean? Why is it look? Well, doesn't it seem kind of weird that the villain looks like a caveman? He's like, no, because aliens were here a long time ago and they thought this is what we all look like. And so they built a robot. By the time they came back, we had changed. And now, like Iron Man, they think is the real guy. You know what I mean? So, well, wouldn't it be like a million years from now they're just going to come back with Iron Man robots? Yeah, we'll deal with it when we get there, guys. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? Let's not forget, very next issue, we got a guy who hypnotizes people while in prison. Hey, Stan, don't you think we're hypnotizing people too close together? No, shut your face. People love hypnotizing and transistors. I know stuff, okay? I'm going to be cameos in every movie that I ever make. Watch.
That's the cutting edge of technology, though, in the 1960s. They were like, hypnotism and transistor radios? The future is going to be so amazing. Flying transistor hypno cars.
Just the idea of him being in his writer's room and like,
but that, and that's the thing. Like,
I imagine him being over, because I look at him now as such an old man, but at some point he had to be kind of an arrogant nerd who just was like, bleh.
No,
or were they, or were
like,
they almost mocking themselves?
No, I think he was like a by your bootstrap kind of guy, because it was definitely bottom barrel, an unrespected art form. He was probably just, you know, a dude drawing stuff. He's like, you know what? There's some money in this. I think we should try it. And you know, probably not something, it wasn't as base as that, but the idea was that it wasn't super popular. And nowadays, comics are a little bit more revered.
Now, do you think he at some point was had fallen upon the DC comics because they happened first? Is that the idea?
His backstory is and where he came from. Because I know it was him and Jack Kirby. It was, you know, his ideas and Jack Kirby's art style that kind of defined.
Yeah, and
Marvel.
Then there was another person that, it seems to me that the person writing the dialogue kept changing. But there's always him drawing the pictures, and then the other guy was the creator or whatever.
Is he?
I don't know. Here, let me hit record pause while you read that.
Bam!
I get the phone. Sorry, and we're back.
Oh, that was amazing. All the things that just happened while we were on pause.
On the phone, too.
Oh, man. Who called you? Like, the president? He was dead, though. He's from the future.
We time traveled, but it turns out Kevin was right about his whole Earth being in the wrong place thing.
Yeah, we were just floating around the space for a long time.
Luckily, I just slapped my hands and we went back.
Yeah. Wait, what power is that? You just have the power to clap through time?
Yeah.
Don't do it! Hate to take you a show. No!
So what did you find out about Mr.
Well, I learned about Stan Lee from the always reliable, never inaccurate Wikipedia.com.
Boom!
According to this, he started working for a newspaper before he was even out of high school. Or he graduated high school earlier at like 16 and a half in 1939. This guy's still alive. That can't be right.
It's the same age as my grandpa.
That's amazing. Yeah, he's 87 years old right now. Born, December 28th, 1922. Check that out. So he joined a company called Timely Comics, which is a division of a pulp magazine. And so that's what I was trying to express, is that they were pulp magazines. Like they were just fluff.
It's kind of the idea of a dime store novel.
Yeah, it was the modern equivalent of like junk television. Like reality TV was to us what pulp magazines were to that era.
So would a pulp magazine have a comic as a part of it, and then
no, it'd be
else,
one or? Thing. But they were comics.
That
and
was
they
a
were,
genre. So
yeah,
because
exactly.
Comics, the word didn't really exist.
No, it existed. It's just that they would produce comics, they would produce novels and that kind of thing, and they'd be 10 cents dime stores. And that's where the expression came from. It was real cheap material.
Yeah.
Same thing as those, you know, romance novels that people read nowadays. Now they all have vampires in them. That kind of crap. So he went on and then became, you know, he worked his way up as working there. But there's a pretty cool quote here. We're just going to assume that it's right, according to Wikipedia. This is Stan Lee. In those days, the artists dipped their pen in ink. Very clever. So I had to make sure the ink wells were filled. I went down and got them their lunch. I did proofreading. I erased the pencils from their finished pages. So that's how Stan Lee started. Was just like a lackey.
Like a lackey, yeah.
Yeah, and then he obviously grew up and kept going and was able to pitch ideas and became Stan Lee, the number one face of comics. And, you know, I don't know who created Superman, but we know who created Marvel. So.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Well, and I think it's because he also, at least now, he associates himself with the brand very well, like by making cameos and all of the, which I don't, does he do this in the Spider-Man movies and stuff? Because I think it is absolutely hysterical. I've been watching the Iron Man movies
because my son
is such a huge fan. In the first movie where they go, he goes, "Hey, Hugh Hefner." Like, he's hanging out with two chicks.
"What's up, Hef?"
Yeah, that's right.
Because he doesn't want to get busted.
And then as they're leaving in that like montage shot or whatever, they have the shot where he's wearing suspenders and like, this is Larry King. And he's like, "Hey, Larry." And he just does this like, they're quick and they're funny. You know what I mean? Like,
we can see Jerry Siegel invented Superman. I should have known that one.
Why?
Well, because it's kind of big.
What else did he invent?
Blenders, toaster ovens.
Did somebody just knock on the door?
Knocking on the door. Yes. Yes.
Natalie, somebody knocked on the door. I'll just pause again.
Oh.
And we're back.
And, Oh, all the things that just happened there. There was somebody that came by and they needed something from Justin.
Now I'm angry. I'm going to move on. What were we talking about? Who created Superman?
Tell us about your problems. What's going on? Jerry Siegel. We talked about that already.
It's just these people. They come by like with their... Here's the thing. If you're a renter,
and
right,
I am,
have issues, but be understanding and appreciative. That's all it takes. That's all
it
takes.
He said thank you, sort of.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, just if... Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I just feel like if I tell you, hey... Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Unless it's an emergency, don't call my place.
I think that's fair.
Past 6 o'clock.
So 6 o'clock?
So what he does is he knocks on my door at 9:15.
P.M.
Yep.
That's pretty late.
So, and it's just this whole thing where he has these things. He has a list of things that he needs repairs. He turns in a list one day. The next day he calls me and says something like, hey, do you think you can come by today or actually, he said the day after he called me, he goes, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be around. Do you think you can come by and take care of that list of stuff that I have? He goes, are you going to be around? I said, actually, yeah, I will be. And then he goes, okay. He goes, yeah, why don't we do that then? I was like, great. So then I come by today. I had to go around with an exterminator and nobody cares about this. But anyway.
I'm listening.
But my point is that then it's like,
does
okay,
he listen
well,
to this show?
No, and if he does, I don't fucking care. Like, this is why I'm damned. I was thinking about this the other day, that if for whatever reason in my life I wanted to be, like, a public person, like a
famous person. Yeah.
No. Like, fame, it's fine, but the...
I'll be famous. That's
a public servant, like a politician or something like that. Like, there's just the things that live forever on this show that I've said would be anything. They could sling mud, like, for days with my racist opinions.
True,
unless that's my platform. If I ever run for office, it'll be on a racist platform. Heads up, everybody. But
finally.
It's just, I don't know. It just drives me nuts. Because then he's like, well, when are you going to get it done? I'm like, well, okay. I rattled off the list of things I had to do today. And I said, I got the exterminator now. I got a guy coming to fix a shower door at 12 that I got to help. I said, I got another air conditioning guy coming by at 12 o'clock. I got locksmiths coming by at 1 o'clock. I said, so somewhere after I get all them going, I can come by maybe around 2 o'clock or something like that. Or 1. So then I go, okay, 10 minutes later, I'm leaving his place. I'm going to help the exterminator and through another unit. He's waiting outside the unit that I walked into, and he's right outside. And I go, oh, hey, is everything okay? And he's like, well, I got to go run some errands, so I'll just call you when I get back, and then you can come by, but just wait until I get back.
Oh, because you're like a service for him.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's what I am. I'm a servant who's supposed to, and here's what it is, in my opinion, is that he has no power in his house, within his marriage or his children, and he's probably a 40-something or older-year-old man who works retail. So this is the only opportunity he has for power.
Got it, because if you work retail, you're at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about superheroes.
Yes.
And in my personal life experiences recently, I was a superhero just the other day.
What?
Well, I was a hero. Well, I was an idiot. Here's what was happening.
Okay. You started real strong and instantly fell, like most heroes.
I was trying to make sure we get it back to heroes. We weren't trying to wrap anything up earlier heroes. I think we covered it all. Stan Lee. I feel like I was going to make a point.
We have to make a big announcement. That's about it.
Yeah. I was going to make a point about Iron Man and the inventor of Superman. And the point is that, like, everybody knows who Stan Lee is, but nobody knows who the inventors of DC Comics are. So, I was going to look up and see if Stan Lee was in other movies. That's what it was. Played other cameos.
He, in every Marvel movie, he has a cameo. That's the idea.
Really?
Like Stephen King.
Like Stephen King. Stephen King does that too?
Yeah, he
was started by who, though?
I don't know who started. Well, Hitchcock.
Thank
Alfred
you.
Hitchcock.
Goodness sakes.
For some reason, I thought, like, I was thinking, for my mind, here's what my mind did. I'm like, well, in superhero movies, I don't know. And then I went, oh, he means horror movies. Who would it? Oh, wait, no, it wasn't Stephen. Oh, it's Alfred Hitchcock.
It's horror movies. Oh, it was horror movies. So I'm walking, we do church right on Hollywood Boulevard. And we have our offices are on the fourth floor of the old Pacific Theater building built by the Warner Brothers. It's on the corner of Wilcox and Hollywood. If you'd like to come and visit us, Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15.
Great podcast where you can hear the asshole Joseph Barkley talk about great things.
That's what he refers to himself as.
Right. Hey, good name. Should be on his business card. Executive asshole pastor.
No, that's Gary. He's the executive pastor.
Gary's the executive pastor?
Yeah. Did you meet Gary Clemmer yet? Good guy.
He was at your wedding?
Yeah, he was at my wedding.
I think I met him.
Yeah, he was the guy.
I'm not talking about Gary then. What's this is JB's
JKB.
Official? Yeah, what's his official title?
Lead pastor.
Lead asshole pastor. Just anyway. Lead asshole. Maybe drop the pastor part. It's implied.
LA.
He's at a church.
The offices are on the street. To get into the offices, the entrance is on the street, and then the theater, of course, is a different part.
Like you have to leave and go out to go back in.
That's probably a better way to explain it. So I'm walking out of the theater from a meeting, talking about the theater, and then going up to the offices. Now, in between the theater door and the offices door are two storefronts that share our building. They're renters, and the one that is open is a souvenir shop. So I'm walking on the street, and coming towards me is one of the thuggest brothers I have ever seen in my life. Like this guy, I my jaw nearly dropped watching him walk towards me. He was topless, just cut ribbed with all sorts
of... Cut ribbed. You mean ripped?
No, he was both. He was ripped and cut.
and ribbed.
And he had a...
for her pleasure.
and mine. And he had a giant, like, compass-looking tattoo on his shoulder. Uh-huh. And he had a blunt or a cigar or something coming out of his mouth, just hanging there. And he had his pants down around his knees. I'm not exaggerating. He had boxers on, and the pants... That's what caught my eye, because I'm like, how is this guy walking with his pants that low? It's so exaggerated. It was ridiculous. I felt like I was on candid camera to see whether or not everybody would be like, look at this guy. I'm racist, and look at this guy.
Yeah, it's more like that ABC like news show where it's like caught on camera. I can't remember what they are.
Yeah, like waiting for me to do something racist or something.
Like shake your head, and then they go, why would you shake your head at this large black man?
Yeah, exactly. He's just now, if we brought another white man dressed like that, would you have that same? I'd be like, yes, they both look like idiots.
If they were ribbed for her pleasure and mine, yeah.
so to make the candid camera moment even more real, he stops. He crosses in front of the shop, then stops instantly, ducks down low, and at this moment I think he's high, and starts creeping backwards towards the store. And I'm still walking towards him, and then he begins to reach up and take a pair of sunglasses from the store. So he's stealing right in front. Like, I'm crossing in front of him, and I look down, and we've all met me, and I'm an idiot. So most people...
So here's what Kevin's goes. Hey there, buddy. What are you trying to do? What are you doing?
Pretty close. Most people would walk on, right? That's kind of what I'm learning is most people would be like, oh, and then watch him go and be sensible and not...
Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I would say, dude, you're ribbed for her pleasure and mine. You could just take him. Who's going to stop you?
I say...
You look
reality,
like an ass with your little fucking crouching tiger hidden jackass move.
I say, didn't even think, just reacted and goes, oh, come on, man. Like, I know the guy.
Do you know how far you're putting us back with this bullshit? Come on, my nigga. Come on, motherfucker.
Do you even watch?
Come on, we in the White House, brother. We in the White House. Come on.
That's what I should have done. I reacted like white man. Oh, now, come on now. That is unacceptable.
Come on, gee willikers.
How would you just... Now, you stop it there, fellow citizen. So I go, oh, come on, man, really? And he stops, turns up, looks at me, and comes up to his full height, which is a good 4 or 5 inches above me, and looks at me and is like, oh, really? Do you work here or something? And I'm like, and I kind of shrug. I'm like, the guy's a buddy of mine. He is a buddy of mine, but it shouldn't matter, like, if he's a buddy. The guy's still stealing. I'm like, oh, you're going to be a little bitch faggot. It starts to put the glasses back, so I've won. Because he's also stood up, and the shop owner can hear, see him. Again, between the two of us, this guy could have knocked us both out, taken the whole glasses and run, and we wouldn't have been able to do anything. It's this like 50-year-old Korean man running the store, and me, I'm actually carrying...
Yeah, he's probably a kung fu master who's looking for a pupil,
oh,
and this is how Karate Kid 2 was written.
Meanwhile, I'm carrying my iPad, by the way, while this moment is happening.
Well, you hit him with the backside of that thing. It's good.
App!
Is there an app for everything? Is there an app for
protect
reporting?
Me from thugs! Call the police! I have no Wi-Fi connection! But I can read Iron Man. So he
you could furiously try to figure out how to build a transistor.
Yeah, he said, what's an arc reactor?
what if your animal brain kicked into a level where you just start punching your own hand? hand going, Puck, Puck, Puck.
Where are my heroes? Laser eyes, laser eyes. 1 point fireball, 1 point fireball. That's the wrong show.
Todd Murphy.
The techniques didn't work out.
Okay, so what happened then?
So he just starts yelling at me and stuff, and then I become... Couldn't even make out all the words he's calling me, but his essential point was like, what business is it of mine that I would stop him from taking this? But he's using words that I don't even think I've heard George Carlin ever say. And so I just sort of maintain eye contact with him and kind of walk backwards and turn a corner and then go into the office. Pretty good reference, right?
It's a hilarious one.
Thank you. So it was really unsettling, and then I began to talk to people. I went up to the office and said, you know, this just happened. And they're like, well, we can let our security company know and stuff. And one of the guys is like, when I kind of realized, I'm like, well, maybe that was a bad choice. I mean, sure, he could have had a knife and a gun, but more realistically and more accessibly, he could have hit me. There was nothing stopping him. If he was high, which he might have been, he could have very easily taken a swing at me.
Hold on. If he was high on marijuana, very nonviolent.
He was very violent.
Then he was not high on the marijuana.
Okay, then he was high on the gin and juice? I don't know what other
thing. He could be drunk.
Yeah, he could be.
Drunk creates violence.
You're inaccurate because not all people who take marijuana chill out. Some do get violent and get hyperactive. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
They get violent?
Yeah, you can get hyperactive. You can get, like, so it's why athletes take marijuana, because it kicks you in the other direction and you become super energized. You've never heard
to
of this?
To a violent level?
I mean, if you're provoked, if he's like on a high and having a good time.
I know we need to wrap it up, but just as much as I needed to know, is multiple man gay? I need to know,
does marijuana make you violent? It can, is what I'm suggesting.
I've never taken
the damn stuff.
Anything can happen to anybody, I'm sure, but I'm just saying that, hold on, answers.com, can marijuana cause aggressive and delinquent behavior? Answer, though a connection has been made between cannabis use and criminal and or aggressive behavior in people, it is not the substance that causes the violence. The two most recent studies into the connection between cannabis and aggressive behavior carried out in New Zealand in 2000 were interpreted by some as proof that cannabis causes violent behavior. Dr. Louis Arzenault, lead author on the study, said, "We found that people dependent on cannabis were more likely to commit violent crime, but to say our study showed that cannabis itself caused violence is wrong.
Okay.
We found it was not the substance that caused the violence. It was because heavy users were more likely to have a history of antisocial behavior, bad parenting, failure at school, thieving, and involvement in illegal drug market. To say the paranoia created by smoking cannabis makes you more likely to be violent is a very big claim," she says. "There is no evidence for this. So no, cannabis does not cause aggressive and delinquent behavior."
Okay, but simply the fact that they had
indirectly
to
it does.
But simply the fact that they had to create a study to try to tackle the issue suggests that it does happen that people who are getting high will become violent.
People who are more, I think what it's saying is people that were already inclined to violent will still continue to be violent. Like, it doesn't suppress.
Okay, anyway, the guy was violent, and he was high.
I'm just saying it's unfair to stoners across America.
Well, my point is that I would like to think that his judgment was impaired in this moment, like, to behave
if
in this
it was
manner.
Impaired by marijuana, I would say he's less likely to hit you.
Well, maybe then that's why he didn't hit me.
Yeah.
Because he was
So
he
let's
was
legalize
out.
This shit. Prop 10, November 2nd, everybody.
So anyway, pot I decided that, because in talking to folks, they're like, well, yeah, that was very brave. It was also very stupid. It could have been. And so I decided that in kind of thinking about it and praying about it, that I decided that I still would make that decision again, because I don't want to live in a neighborhood where that's okay. And while I, you know, it's on the shop owner to take better care of his stuff so that it's not so easily stolen and all that, and it's on the guy to know better. At the end of the day, when we were in India, we had tens of thousands of dollars equipment stolen right underneath our nose while locals watched it happen and never told us once. And I hated that feeling that they let this terrible crime happen right before their eyes and didn't say anything. And so while it's sunglasses, I don't want to be a part of I don't want to be in a Hollywood where that's okay, where people can just steal from each other. Because where that is, then of course there's gang violence and eventually pregnant whores are stealing crack from each other.
You sound very vigilante right now.
I have built a suit made of transistors.
Have you seen Kick-Ass? Spoiler
material.
Alert, it doesn't bode well.
He did find out how Lost ended, though. The movie was pretty kick-ass.
Oh, that's funny.
So looking here on Stan Lee, and he wasn't in a cameo for every movie he's ever done. You know, he did the Punisher's here. At least he has no credit
for that. Oh, that's true. He wasn't in the Punisher.
He wasn't in those. Silver Surfer, it doesn't look like he had.
There was no movie for Silver Surfer,
was
there?
There was a TV series. Oh, what are you talking about?
Movie.
He was in Fantastic Four. Silver Surfer showed up in that one.
But he was in Fantastic Four.
Two?
I'm pretty sure.
Probably. Daredevil, was he in that? He's got an executive producer quote here.
But I think he did a cameo in Daredevil, too.
Probably.
Daredevil as well. Maybe not the one that they made about Jennifer Garner's spinoff character.
Captain America, remember that movie came out in 1990? Yep. That was short-lived. I don't even think it got released.
You scared me when you looked at the recorder because I thought it wasn't recording this
whole time. Here we go. So he'll be in Deadpool, which is coming out. Thor, finally.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Black Panther, the superhero squad show. That was pretty exciting. Mayor of Superhero City. That's who he played. These are all, Spider-Man 3, The Condor.
Is that in production right now?
No, they played the grandfather. It was some cartoon show in the near 2000s.
Oh, he did the voice or something?
Yeah, something like that. Oh. The Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement. He was a Three Stooges wedding guest in that, according to IMDb, which is a much more reliable source.
Wow, way to go, Stan. All right, well, there we go. We did a couple shows. That was good times.
It's all about superheroes.
Boom. That. Nailed it. If you want to send us a trivia challenge, you can send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or give us a call, 408-228-4911. Again, I'm going to be at the Denver Improv Thanksgiving weekend, November 26th through 28th. I'm going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena, California, December 3rd and 4th. And you can find all my stand-up dates available at justincomedy.com. Please go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and take our survey. It helps us a ton. Or like us on Facebook and or do both.
I have something to say.
Oh, really? Oh, go ahead.
You ruined the dramatic pause.
Oh, I didn't know it was coming.
It was a dramatic pause.
I didn't know it was coming.
Dramatic pause. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. I forgot to do...
I'm still in
the middle of things.
You're
I'm
talking
sorry.
Over my pause.
We have two things that I forgot to do. Number one is we read Scott Schroeder's email last week, I believe. Or was it this week? No, it was last week.
Yep.
We forgot. Jeremy also sent us that he said there are places online that you can create your own Magic of the Gathering. No, I said it to you before the show, but I didn't say it on the
show.
Oh,
that was close.
Yeah. Magic the Gathering show. Magic the Gathering card. So I wanted to make sure we said that. We also need to come up with a big announcement.
I've got it. I'll tell you right now. Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
But no, maybe I have one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Maybe
it was dramatic pausing.
Maybe I could come up with one. I don't know if it's big enough, but I will
say this.
Natalie's pregnant.
Yes.
Awesome.
On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.